As you know, I do have a plan to bring out a series of messages about LGBTQA plus issues, not only this month, but also next year. This month is more like how it affects us. I want you to be informed of the real issues. And next year, when I'm going to deliver a series of messages, I'm going into the Bible texts, and I'm going to tell you what the scripture talks about. But as I'm planning all these messages, you may have one particular question. Why is this issue more significant than all other issues? I'm not to bring out a series of messages of every particular offenses the scripture speaks against about, but why this one is particularly chosen. For example, the passage we read this morning has a list of many sins. Adulteries and fornication and robbery, etc. Is this sin more grievous than all other sins? I would say that sin is sin and all sins are sins. In this regard, LGBTQA plus issues are not different from other sins. Having said that, I still insist that we must pay attention to LGBTQA plus issues more carefully as the believers of Christ Jesus, especially as believers of the Bible. Largely, there are two reasons why I had to say so. One is of everyday life experiences, I would say practical reason, and the other is a biblical reason. And obviously, they are interlinked, because in everyday life, how we feel about certain issues are directly linked to our understanding of the scriptures. I will skip the biblical reason for my talks this time and wait until I will deal with Bible passages later. Then the remaining practical reason is quite simple and obvious. LGBTQA plus has forced us to deny our faith or to make compromises of our faith and convictions, as well as to uproot a natural and universal understanding of human sexuality. The LGBTQA plus activists have attempted to legalize their sexual preferences and to educate us and our children with their own agendas, which has been extremely successful. LGBTQA plus movement has bombarded us from every side, every aspect of our everyday life and life experiences, from education, entertainment, and politics, laws, and all of those things have afflicted us and affected us in every possible way. Our freedom is dwindling, and its arguments are against the core universal values of human civilizations and biblical truths. And so I know that a lot of people are afraid of talking about these issues in their workplaces. Practically, it is banned. In your school system, in your school classes, you are not supposed to talk anything against such issues. And also, even in any social gatherings and so on, you are not allowed to talk about those matters, and you are scared, and you are frightened. In fact, a couple of people, you know, have told me that, in fact, as I was making announcements to preach on this issue, they are a bit frightened. Don't fear. And just in case, if there will be an uprising from the community because of my preaching, maybe that is something that I desire to see it, by which people do know that there is someone who does believe in the scriptures and does proclaims and preaches what the scripture talks about. So it's not going to be your matter, it will be my matter. Let the burdens upon my shoulder, and you believe and be convinced what the scripture talks about. I believe that what we are battling with is not of science, but of politics and ideology. And I will show you why I think so. This movement even criminalizes us for what we believe, which happens to be a universal understanding of human sexuality. It is not about Christian religion per se, but about the universal humanity. We are being educated to believe that LGBTQA is the norm, and we resist it. In fact, we are being educated to believe it, believe LGBTQA plus must be right. We are educated. It is not coming from our mind or thought naturally, but someone told us about it. And mass media tries to influence upon our minds to believe it. In school system curriculum, our students, our children are being taught in the classroom. So it is a taught matter. at least in my mind. In Australia, the government authorizes religious celebrants, in our case, pastors. There are two kinds of marriage celebrants. One is religious and the other one is civil celebrants. So in Australia, the government authorizes religious celebrants to conduct marriages. Therefore, when our pastors conduct a wedding, they carry both a legal and religious responsibility. I'm trying to show you how it has affected even to such a ministry. They must obey, pastors must obey the law and confess the faith of the church. The new law in Australia will not, however, force our pastors to marry people. It specifically provides for ministers of religion to solemnize marriage, respecting the doctrines, tenets, and beliefs of their religion, the views of their religious community, or their own religious beliefs. In other words, as a believer of the Bible, as the pastor of BP Church, Hope Bible Presbyterian Church, I'm not obligated to marry homosexual couples. In other words, pastors are legally permitted to say no. Neither are our congregations being forced to open their facilities for a wedding. So our sanctuary will not be permitted for such a practice. Provisions in the new law will allow a body established for religious purposes to refuse to make a facility available or to provide goods and services for the purposes of the solemnization of a marriage or for purposes reasonably incidental to the solemnization of a marriage. Like many Protestant churches, Lutheran Church in Australia does not condemn or judge homosexuality and claims the Bible is silent on homosexual orientation. That's what they are saying. Homosexuals are welcomed into the congregation of Lutheran churches. The LCA, Lutheran Church of Australia, has communicated that the church does not consider sexual orientation to be a choice. Exactly that is what LGBTQI plus groups are trying to convince us. So they are saying that people do not generally choose to be homosexual. The LCA's statements, Lutheran Church of Australia's statements on homosexuality and same-sex relationships include a statement that defines marriage as heterosexual between one man and one woman. So at least in the statement, legal statement, they say that marriage is taken place between one man and one woman and also supports civil unions. It's interesting. They say that one man and one woman, that union is marriage, but also supports civil unions that provides the same legal rights of marriage for same-sex couples. So is it a denier of a homosexual relationship or it is an approval of it? Well, it is none of those, but in between, compromise the state. That's what they want to maintain. Church guidelines do not allow for same-sex marriages to be conducted by clergy, but the church, Lutheran Church, has said it does not prohibit or encourage the use of church sanctuaries and halls for same-sex marriages performed by civil celebrants. That decision is left to the local congregation. There were few words printed in the Times of London on the 22nd of September this year. Headline is this, in quote, LGBT ratings for churches, end of quote. The story is very simple, in quote, Oxford students have rated local churches based on how safe they are for gay and transgender Christians. You have to pay attention to the word safe. They are going to keep using the word safe. The students awarded scores of 1 to 5 after analyzing sermons and blog posts and speaking to worshipers. Jane Ozen, an LGBT rights campaigner who sits on the Church of England General Senate, said that she hoped, in quote, the exceptionally important project would be, in her own words, replicated by grassroots groups across the community, across the country, end of quote. I do not have much knowledge about how the Church of England runs. However, I assume that the Church of England's General Senate refers to its General Synod, also known as General Assembly. The Synod is a tricameral consisting of the House of Bishops, so General Synod is consisted of house of bishops, then house of clergy, and house of laity. So bishops, clergy group, then lay people. They come together. There are currently 467 members in total. Thus, she must be pretty, this girl who wrote this article must be pretty active in the Church of England because she was sitting in that synod. The report in the Times, which is one of the most influential magazines in the world, tells us that people began to score Christian churches based on the level of their support of the normalization of all LGBTQA plus behaviors, not according to how literally faithfully stick to the scriptures. So churches are being rated according to their views of LGBTQA plus. What in the world church has been so differently understood? We have seen how modern media, social media, and activist communities fueled by identity politics have actively worked against the believers of traditional and biblical teachings of sex, gender, and marriage. These activists go to church without making any announcement and look to find out who are good and who are naughty, by which, if necessary, they want to raise their voices about what churches should teach and preach and what they should not teach and preach. The activists often use the word safe. They use it of this intersection of identity, politics, and modern sexual ideology. It is only one example. Albert Mohler says in the briefings as following. By the way, you know, you can just type the briefings in the Google, and you can find Albert Mohler. He delivers 15 to 20 minutes of talk every day. It's a worldview, a Christian worldview, and it is quite interesting. It has a lot of things. So when you are traveling back and forth, if you want to listen to him, I think it will benefit you. And in the briefings, he's the president of one of the Southern Baptist theological seminaries. So he says this, in quote, "The word safe has been transformed into acquiescence to the demands made by some group according to identity politics. If you do not meet their demands, then they are unsafe. A further extension of this kind of logic and linguistics is found when they say that you render people invisible. That's a particular term, the safe word, the term that is used ideologically by those pushing the transgender agenda." So safe is very closely and directly linked to that idea. Etienne Baker wrote a report in the Oxford newspapers as following, in quote, "The Oxford Safe Churches Project, run by a coalition of LGBTQ plus organizations and churches in Oxford, have published their first faith report titled Attitudes to Queer Christians in Oxford Churches. The report published on Friday, September 22nd this year, uses traffic light system to rank the LGBTQ inclusivity of churches in Oxford. St. Aldate's Church and St. Abby's Church, both located next to Pembroke College in the center of Oxford, are ranked in the lowest rate of inclusivity and have a notable amount of evidence suggesting active display of both homophobia and transphobia," end of quote. The activists begin to take names of churches. I expect the same thing to happen in Australia sooner or later. So you may hear about our church in different ways, in a very derogatory and disrespectful way, simply because I have been preaching it. Expect it. We, including our children, have heard that classifying sex and gender into a pair of opposites, like male and female or man and woman, has been imposed upon us by culture, religion, or other social pressures. It's quite an interesting thought. Classifying sex, gender into a pair of opposites like male or female, man or women, man and woman, has been imposed upon us by culture, religion, or other social pressures. That's what LGBTQI people are talking about, and that's what so-called experts. Some of them are psychologists, some of them are psychiatrists. They are saying this. The LGBTQA plus group say that such a gender binary system, male and female, man and woman, gender binary system discriminates against individuals who do not conform to the system, including transgenders and homosexuals. As I have said before, the organizers of this report said they wanted to use something like a traffic light system in order to give affirmation or warning to LGBTQ plus students at Oxford. According to the report, the categorization comes down to level one. This is the worst. And guess what? What sort of color they would use? They would use red. The statement is, in quote, "This is probably a church where there is public teaching calling homosexuality sinful. So we are on red color. They are likely to use the clever passages to argue that any form of homosexual sex within a same-sex marriage or otherwise is a form of sexual immorality and are likely to use this as a means of arguing for celibacy or conversion to a heterosexual lifestyle. It is also likely that trans and non-binary people are not openly affirmed." End of quote. The statement later is this, in quote, "We believe some people, especially freshers and students, it may mean a high risk of spiritual abuse," end of quote. It implies lots of things that I will deal with some other times. And so those people who are sending out their dear children to study in the overseas, their home countries, they were safe, in a good sense, under the parents' influences and their Bible-believing, sound, and healthy churches' influences, they are growing up. But when they are sending out to countries like UK, like Australia, and they are negligent of the things of God, they are lazy, they are indifferent to the things of God, they do not serve God in the church actively, but one way or another, they listen to all kinds of things on the campus. They watch those things, and they may not going to be a part of those movements, but you know what? Their defense barrier is already weakened. And gradually, they will be just like them. So especially for those ones who are studying in Australia, coming from overseas, your back home churches were very sound churches, and your pastors were you know, Bible-believing preachers, and your parents were very conservative believers, but you came to Australia. You are free. So you can make your choices. Choices not to be a part of Bible study group, not to be a part of a fellowship group, not to be a part of leadership group, not to be a part of a serving group, and you are free. I want you to know that you are going to pay for it. You are going to pay for it. And I think I have seen some of those. So let me go into the first point, LGBTQA plus and issues implied. You probably have noticed that I excluded, I took I out after I talked to Elder John last week. Even I myself did not carefully look into the terminologies, so I decided to remove I there. So LGBTQA and issues implied, though your outline still keeps I. I do not think that I can list all the relevant issues with specific explanations in relation to LGBTQA+. Thus, I need to choose some outstanding issues to see how these issues have affected our everyday life. First of all, heterosexual marriage is challenged on trial. We believe that heterosexual marriage is a fundamental biblical truth that creation story teaches us about. Instead of going into the biblical teachings of marriage, I'll bring out some examples of the current developments with same-sex marriage. In year 2020, the Anglican Church's Appellate Tribunal ruled that blessings of same-sex couples were permitted under church law. It does not mean that same-sex marriage is now permitted, The year 2022 General Synod did not pass any resolutions specifically affirming that marriage is between a man and a woman. However, a resolution on exemptions clause for religious bodies included this statement that the Anglican Church, in quote, continues to affirm that marriage according to the rites and ceremonies of the Anglican Church of Australia is the voluntary union of one man and one woman arising from mutual promises of lifelong faithfulness, end of quote. And in quote, the doctrine, tenets, beliefs, and teachings of our church are expressed in the authorized liturgies of our church, and there is currently no liturgy for the solemnization of a same-sex marriage, end of quote. However, the House of Bishops also voted against the specific motion. This is the motion the House of Bishops was against. In quote, that sought to affirm that marriage is only between a man and woman, and the blessing of same-sex marriages was not in accordance with the teaching of Christ. And that was rejected by the House of Bishops. I'm talking about the Anglican Church, Anglicans in Australia. Gender-affirming surgery and same-sex marriage are being practiced, and they are violating God's creation order. Among the gender-affirming surgeries offered at certain hospitals are gender-affirming, hysterectomies, which involve the removal of the cervix or the lower, narrower end of the uterus and forms a canal between the uterus and the external genitalia, as well as the fallopian tubes. Hysterectomies, which are irreversible, are commonly used for cancer patients and a litany of other gynecological health problems. Some of the nation's leading hospitals want to remove healthy cervixes, and fallopian tubes, which would permanently prevent a patient from being able to bear children. Gender and sex are wrongly treated as separate concepts. In discussion about gender identity and gender binary system, sex is used to refer to genetic and biological characteristics such as sexual anatomy and chromosomes. However, the LGBTQA plus groups see gender as referring to the social consequences of these biological characteristics, amalgamation of cultural influence and pressure. They see it as a social construct. To me, and as for me, they are the ones making up genders we have not known about, or humanity has not known about until recent decades. We have come to know about all these so-called gender diversities by their propagandas. If there was no such an education propaganda on mass media and entertainment in school system, I think we have never known of these things. We got to know of those matters because we are educated. It is truly right when Paul says that there are some people who profess to be wise, but they are actually the fools, because even they cannot answer to one simple question, what is a woman? We say that our biological sexes, or sex assigned at birth, determine gender, and that the two concepts cannot be separated. Most of the times, they have to be identical. In other words, a child born with a sexual anatomy and chromosomes of a female should be raised as a woman. And a child born with a sexual anatomy and chromosomes of a male should be raised as a man. To the contrary, they present an alternative idea to the gender binary system, which is known as the gender continuum, which allows gender identity to be understood along scales of mental, biological, and behavioral traits. Many find it more inclusive toward the transgender individuals. Transgender individuals are referring to those who identify with a gender other than that assigned at birth. And non-binary individuals. Non-binary individuals are referring to those who identify themselves as being outside the gender binary system and who may not identify with a single gender at all. Some people believe that genders may change in different stages of life. So gender fluidity is even mentioned. Gender is fluid. Thus, a person may say that he had a female gender, but now has a male gender, that it may be changed to female gender later on. It all depends on individuals, his feelings and his thoughts. In Western culture, the gender binary system has constituted an invisible foundation upon which much of everyday life is built. Though I said it is in Western, mostly Western culture, I mean that virtually in all civilizations or cultures, it has been a system by which human societies have operated. You visit deep bushes and those isolated, only tribal people are living there. And you ask those individuals, what is man and what is woman? And their answer will be very clear. But to those people who are so-called experts or educated, ask them, what is man and what is woman? They have a hard time to answer the question. Why it happened? Through education, we are brainwashed. The following is a few examples how virtually in all civilizations or cultures, it has been a system by which human societies have operated. Following is a few examples. Gender, the public restrooms are a universal example of how the gender binary system manifests in the world. Man uses men's toilet and woman, woman's. That's simple. However, when it comes down to transgenders, non-binary, or gender non-conforming people, problems arise. If they use public restrooms corresponding to their biological sexes, there is no problem. But if they insist that they should use public toilets according to their genders, problems arise. So that's why in certain sections of the societies are demanding all male men to do their businesses, whatever their business may be, in the toilet, sit down, so that gender differences will not be noticed. It is because they separate the sex from genders. Biologically, male person may come to use women's toilet because he feels and even believes that he's in the wrong body and actually his gender is female. As soon as I say that, you must think of one more issue ahead of me. As soon as I say this, how about using shower rooms? How about changing rooms? Athletes have faced tough questions about so-called gender dysphoria or LGBTQA+. For example, the Australian Sports Commission, ASC, partnered with the Australian Human Rights Commission. As soon as human rights, those words are there, there has to be a flag up. They are doing a good job, but not always. So Australian Human Rights Commission and the Coalition of Major Professional and Participation Sports to develop, in quote, guidelines for the inclusion of transgender and gender diverse people in sport, end of quote. The guidelines provide practical advice on how sporting organizations can create and promote an inclusive environment for transgender and gender diverse people. Discrimination in the context of sport may arise if a sporting organization refuses to allow a transgender or gender diverse person to participate in the competitions it runs or to join the club it operates. Discrimination in the context of sport may arise if sporting organization refuses to allow a transgender or gender diverse person to participate in the competitions it runs or to join the club it operates. Transgender women competing in women's sports have caused lots of grievances from women sports people, sports women, the women athletes So sometimes I'm just wondering why feminists are going for or in agreement with LGBTQA. In fact, it is actually discriminating genuinely women when they have to compete with transgender so-called women. Transgender women competing in women's sports have really a problem. Ben Morse in CNN reported the following on March 24th, year 2023, this year, under the heading of World Athletics Tightens Rules on Transgender Women Athletes. He said World Athletics, WA, announced new rules on Thursday impacting transgender women athletes, banning some from competing in female track and field events. The announced regulations, which come into force on March 31, prohibit athletes who have gone through what WA called male puberty from participating in female world rankings competitions. WA said exclusion would apply to male-to-female transgender athletes who have been through male puberty. Decisions are always difficult when they involve conflicting needs and rights between different groups, but we continue to take the view that we must maintain fairness for female athletes above all other considerations, and that's what World Athletics President Sebastian said in a statement. However, it does not mean that no transgender has been in women's sports from cycling to weightlifting. Can you imagine? There are so many other examples showing the effects of gender issues. The authorities are wondering if transgender women should reside in men's or women's prison. Whichever they are housed in, we know that they cannot but be in risk. If they are in men's prison, they could become victims, while if they are in women's facilities, they could become offenders. It is also the same problem found in military services. I wonder how the human rights groups see these reverse discriminations. Even advertisement campaigns are affected. Advertisement you watch from TVs are not innocent either. They are heavily influenced by LGBTQA+. In December 2019, the Hallmark Channel, probably if you have cable TV, probably you have seen this. Advertisements you watch from TV are not innocent. The Hallmark Channel pulled 4 TV ads. The headline in the New York Times in December 14, 2019 reads, in quote, TV channel pulls ad with bride kissing. Heather Murphy reported, in quote, the Hallmark Channel pulled 4 TV ads featuring brides kissing each other on Thursday after a targeted campaign by a conservative group. So conservative group found out that there was an inappropriate TV advertisement. The two brides, females, were kissing each other, but the issue did not stop there. The report goes on, in quote, a spokesman for Hallmark said the women's public displays of affection violated the channel's politics, but he declined to comment on why a nearly identical ad featuring a bride and groom kissing was not rejected. As soon as a conservative activist group called for an end to the airing of the two brides kissing ad, the overwhelming power of the sexual revolutionaries quickly overwhelmed like a tsunami. So much so that Hallmark reversed itself as quickly as was corporately possible. A company named Zola ran the 6 ads, including the two having two brides kissing. The spokesperson of the company said, in quote, the only difference between the commercials that were flagged and the ones that were approved was that the commercials that did not meet Hallmark standards, including a lesbian couple kissing, end of quote. In going public with its protest, the chief marketing officer of the company, Mike Shee, said, in quote, All kisses, couples, and marriages are equal celebrations of love, and we will no longer be advertising on Hallmark. So company can actually take an action to the company, because these companies are paying the money for their advertisement. So they are saying, we are going to withdraw our advertisements for your broadcasting, your programs. By Monday, the CEO of Hallmark Cards, Mike Perry, was saying, in quote, "The Crown Media team has been agonizing over this decision as we've seen the hurt it has unintentionally caused. Said simply, they believe this was the wrong decision. We are truly sorry for the hurt and disappointment this has caused," end of quote. Molly Bayer, identified as Senior Vice President for Public Affairs at Hallmark, said on Sunday night that after the initial decision had been made, in quote, "Crown Media had been in agony over the hurt that this has caused. Hallmark has an unwavering commitment to diversity and inclusion," end of quote. Many commercial advertisements are adjusted to meet the demands of the LGBTQA plus activists. Television shows, media are extremely gay friendly. So can you imagine if you put your children in front of TV, let them watch cartoons, innocent children's cartoons. Yes, cartoons. They are educating your children. There is no place we could hide ourselves from LGBTQA+. Then really heart of the issue is about same-sex attractions. I'm going to talk about same-sex attractions and same-sex orientation. And same-sex orientation issue I'm going to talk about next week a little bit more. But we need to separate same-sex attraction from same-sex orientation. The modern secular consensus is that an individual's pattern of sexual attraction, whether heterosexual or homosexual, should be accepted as a given and considered normal. I feel this way. It must be validated. It must be accepted, whatever kind of attraction or feeling I may have. More than that, the secular view demands that this pattern of sexual orientation be accepted as integral to an individual's identity. Because I'm attracted to this person, and it happens to be the case that that person shares the same sex with me. But I'm attracted. This is an integral part of who I am. That is my identity. I do not want to take this one off, and you should never tell me that I am in wrong thought. According to the secular consensus, any effort to change an individual's sexual orientation is entirely wrong and harmful. The contemporary therapeutic worldview is virtually unanimous in this verdict. I need to point out that when we are talking about same-sex attraction or orientation, we are not dealing with homosexual behavior, but homosexual desire, often referred to as homosexual orientation. So I'm not talking about the ethics of homosexual behavior, but about the ethics of homosexual desires. As we consider this matter, we must begin with the true identity of man. We are created by God. We have the image of God in me. When we think of man's creation by God, we cannot but think of its mystery. I'm not talking about God making a man out of dust, but about God interlinking man's soul and body in union. One material thing, the other one immaterial thing. Body and soul are linked and they are united. Now we come to talk about attraction. Attraction belongs to inner part, not the body, the flesh. First, some say that same-sex attractions are instinctive. Probably you have heard such an argument. It's an instinctive. I was born with it. The reason is very obvious why they are saying this. They make this instinctive as the basis of determining orientation and identity. Homosexuals. The most important term is orientation. It is crucial to understand the meaning behind this term. Orientation is a newer concept with a very specific and the secular genesis. For this, we use the APA's definition with some qualifications. That's the American Psychological Association. Because usually, when I make sometimes comparisons between American Psychological Association's statement or beliefs with Australian, they are identical. And so it probably, I'm not just speaking totally foreign, a strange thing by quoting from the American Psychological Association's statements. The American Psychological Association explains about sexual orientation as following. Probably I gave you a quote there on the notes. Let me read it. You can read it with your eyes. It says, there is no consensus. You need to point it out. You need to pay your attention to it. There is no consensus among scientists about the exact reasons that an individual develops a heterosexual, bisexual, gay, or lesbian orientation. Although much research has examined the possible genetic, hormonal, developmental, social, and cultural influences on sexual orientation, no findings have emerged that permit scientists to conclude that sexual orientation is determined by any particular factor or factors. Many think that nature and nurture both play complex roles. Most people experience little or no sense of choice about their sexual orientation. This is the last part is exactly the same we found from Lutheran Church's statement, you know. The APA is a very secular body. It's not a Christian body. It's a religious body. Very secular body. The APA has adopted a secular, unbiblical which forms homosexual behavior. In this secular model, young people do not know what they are until they explore every kind of sexuality and satisfy their sexual attractions in order to label themselves as a straight, gay, lesbian, bisexual, etc. This label is intended to explain who they are and what they do, and whom they associate with. In other words, according to the APA's definition, sexual orientation refers to an enduring pattern of emotional, romantic, and or sexual attraction to men, women, or both sexes. Sexual orientation also refers to a person's sense of identity based on those attractions, related behaviors, and membership in a community of others who share those attractions. So if someone says, I feel like this, then immediately this sexual body, and it's a secular body, says, your identity is that. Your attraction gives your permanent and final identity. Yet the source of the attraction is still a mystery. So that's what APA is talking about. As the APA acknowledges, there is no consensus among scientists about the exact reasons that an individual develops heterosexual, bisexual, gay, and lesbian orientation. Even the secular body says that there is no consensus amongst the scientists, so we cannot say dogmatically which factor or factors have caused individuals to have certain attractions. Although much research has examined the possible genetic, hormonal, developmental, social, and cultural influences on sexual orientation, no findings, I hope you understand this, no findings have emerged that permit scientists to conclude that sexual orientation is determined by any particular factor or factors. However, the LGBTQA groups have raised their voices that they are born that way. Thus, changing sexual orientation is unnatural. I must point out one problem here. Most people think that same-sex attraction is the same as homosexual orientation. Attraction and orientation, we are talking about two different things. Same-sex orientation includes more than sexual attraction, but certainly it does not mean less than that. So orientation has more pregnant meaning than attraction. Gay and lesbian groups want to educate us to believe that they are born that way by talking about same-sex orientation, not attraction. So that's why they devised a new term. Some of the latest scientific research highlights the complexity. For example, in year 2010, the Swedish Twin Registry was examined to see how many identical twins, where at least one of the pair described himself as gay, were both living a homosexual lifestyle. So here are twins, whether twins, both are homosexuals. Identical twins come from the same egg and share the same genes. They are essentially clones. So if homosexuality is primarily genetic, and so homosexuals are born that way, we should assume that if one twin is homosexual, then the other should be as well. However, the research showed that only 7 out of 71 identical twin pairs were both gays. This study and others like it clearly separate the genetic contribution to something like race, for example. Scientists are now looking above the genes. It's not a genetic issue. They are not born that way. That's what this research result is showing to us. Peter Hubbard says, in quote, epigenetics is the study of how the cell controls gene expression. This research may help to explain why some genetic characteristics are dormant while others are operative. Diet, puberty, and an array of lifestyle experiences and choices may silence or amplify, in other words, turn off or turn on certain genetic characteristics. The research is interesting, but it is far from conclusive. The evidence points toward an enigmatic merging of a variety of influences. Certain influences may be real, but no determinative. Our hearts are but vulnerable and corporal. That part is missing from secularists. It is because when we make decisions, our will is working behind. We are swept along, but our hearts are also actively making choices. And we are responsible for those decisions. What matters here is the heart-centered perspective. It is because man is more than flesh and blood. As Hubbard says once again, in quote, when genes, hormones, and environment are viewed as determinative rather than formative, we are tempted to treat ourselves and others as mere biological or hormonal machines. In other words, whatever I do is a result of my genes. Then there is no responsibility or accountability upon us. And we do not have anything to do with will. In fact, genes have decided and determined everything. So some people want to believe that genes, hormones, and environments are not formative factors, but rather they are determinative factors. Attractions no longer help explain what we do if we just follow the genes and hormones, but they define who we are. You are who we are. You are because of your genes. And so these desires are viewed as immutable and irresistible. So really, another interesting thing is that if all the attractions are irresistible and immutable, then there is no sinner in this world. Or there is no law and order, because everybody's attraction must be justified by his genes and hormones. Today, we have many ex-gays who feel that they have been deceived by this message. You were born that way, so you cannot but be this and that. They were taught that attraction equals orientation. So you have attraction, you have that orientation, you're born that way, so you cannot but have that behavior, and that is your identity, and you must associate with the same kind of people. So that is the link. So once you get on that roller coaster, you have to ride it to the end. What is ignored here is that man is more than a body. Man has both body and soul. Maybe we have DNA in our bodies and the genes in our bodies. How about soul? We are spiritual beings. What is the attraction? What is the attraction coming from? Body or mind? Attraction must come from our inner beings, mind, because it is a form of desire. Not every desire is helpful. For example, Matthew 5:28. Would you like to read that verse? Matthew 5:28. Let's read it. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Amen. Lusteth. That is desire. If you say that, yes, I have the lustful desire in me for another woman, but can't you accept the fact that I was born that way? If you say that, no, you are, your desire is no good, then as soon as you say that, you do recognize that there is more than body in you. There is mind, there is heart, there is soul, your inner being. You have to make a decision. Do not commit adultery. It is an appeal to your will. You have to make a choice, not genetics. And Matthew 12, 34 and 35. Matthew 12, 34 and 35. Let's read it. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Amen. So the heart is the storage room. And whatever we have in our hearts is coming out. And not all desires are helpful. Not all desires are good desires. Matthew 15, 18 and 19 say this, but those the things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. That is coming. That is coming from our hearts. Brut Wartke believes that the term heart is the most significant word in the Old Testament regarding our identity as human beings. The Hebrew word for heart refers to the core of who we are. So when we say we are sinners, we are talking about our sinful nature. Our heart is sinful. Our control center or driver. Our heart think, feel, and decide. Our hearts are constantly interpreting information, expressing feelings, and making decisions. Proverbs 4:23 demonstrates the control, the central role of the heart. So Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. It is not coming from your genes, but it is coming from your heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Our hearts are vulnerable. That's why we need to keep it. That's why we have to keep our hearts. Most of us are very concerned about protecting our reputations, our savings, our health, etc. But God warns us of a greater danger here because our hearts are vulnerable. It is because our hearts are responsible for the issues of life or the springs of life. All of our attitudes and actions flow from our productive hearts. Jesus says the same thing in Mark 7:21-23. Would you like to read it? It's almost the same thing, but just to remind ourselves of the importance of it. Mark 7:21-23. Let's read it together. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. So those things that are coming from within are defiling us. That's our heart. Many years ago, I met a man. Apparently, outwardly, he looked like a quite kind gentleman. But his sexual life was so horrible. And he kept immoral and unclean life everywhere. And so when the issue had to be addressed, he told me something like this. I have sex addictions. And when I heard those terms, it didn't please me at all. Because by saying that I have sex addiction, in a way he was trying to escape from his accountabilities and responsibilities. So I'm addicted to sexes. Therefore, really, there is nothing that I can do it. Is a form of illness. So he says it is a form of illness. There is some sort of treatment he needs. But what he needed was more than some treatment. He cannot escape his guilt by simply saying, I have an addiction. The addiction is a very convenient word for a lot of people to avoid their responsibilities. Understanding the relationship between our biology and our responsibility is very complex. God has interlinked our souls and bodies in a mysterious way. If we try to untangle the weave through simplistic explanations, we define ourselves as either genetic androids or disembodied spirits. Wrestling with this tension in the area of homosexuality is particularly difficult. However, God has offered a very different narrative. Surely, attractions are real and meaningful, but they are not experienced in a vacuum. We are relational beings who are created to worship our Maker. We interpret desires within the sphere of, or within the atmosphere of God's love for us in Jesus Christ and our love for people. Not every desire is helpful. Sexual addiction is on some level the result of relational treachery. No heterosexual, by talking about this LGBTQ+ issues, we may misunderstand that ultimate goal we are trying to get to is to make homosexuals to heterosexuals, as if heterosexuality is some sort of crown or glory of all humankind. But this issue is more than that. Because no heterosexual or homosexual relationship can fulfill the eternity that God has placed in man's heart. It is the blessing of bigness. It is the bigness of life and love and relationship that Christ brings. He attaches the soul to grand realities. Everything is seen in relation to God and His larger purposes. He reminds us that there will be no marrying or giving of marriage in the age to come. So Jesus said we will be like angels, so there will be no marriage. There will be no marrying, giving of marriage. No, so sexual intercourse cannot be at the heart of human identity. It is only temporary, but humans are not. Our souls last forever. Sexual orientation is about sexual attractions toward other people. Sexual attraction is about the desire, none other than our desire in heart. The world says, go after your heart. While Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Genesis 1:27 says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he, him, male and female, created he them. So God created human beings as sexual beings. So he created male and female. Then their sexualities are supposed to be working and functioning through marriage. So Genesis 2:23 to 25, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. There are only two sexualities mentioned here, man and his wife. Man and his wife. This is God's creation, that he made male and female, and God made them. That's all. Any other desire against the purpose of God's creation must be resisted and sanctified. It is not just about homosexuality, heterosexuality. There are so many adulteries and fornications we can find in the world. Even though I say in the world, as I have been visiting many churches, I know that there are a lot of professing Christians who have committed the sins of fornication and adultery. So this message is not just for LGBTQA plus group, but there are a lot of sinful people who are committing sins against God. How is your heart today? Is it sanctified? Is it pure? Is it acceptable unto the Lord? Are you a living sacrifice unto the Lord? It must be washed and sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ and subjected to the authority of his word. So first of all, we need to be washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. So we need to be saved. After then, we need to submit all of our beings, including our desires, our even inclinations unto him. Everything must be subjected unto his authority. Thank God for the sanctity of marriage. Thank God for the sanctity of human sexuality. It is all God's creation. Praise him and praise him. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we have discussed some difficult issues so far, and we know that there are some people who have been struggling with the same-sex attraction. They do not know what to do, or sometimes they are fallen into the temptations, or sometimes they may resist, or sometimes they are actively promoting. Father, help us to understand and know the purpose of God's creation, and help us to be ever thankful and grateful for God's creation of man and woman. As God has created us as man and woman, help us keep it, the creation order, without even attempting to change it or redefining it, Lord. Thank God for man, and thank God for woman. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.